couple of months to get us thinking that way. The elders asked us to prepare a couple of sermons on the topic of mercy, which is really the heart of why the church has deacons to lead us in the work of mercy and of stewardship, but especially of mercy. And so this morning we asked Sean, our intern, to come this morning and preach to us from the Old Testament, God's instructions on mercy from the Old Testament. So we'll look forward to hearing from Sean this morning.
Brothers and sisters, I greet you in the name of the Lord, our Father, and Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bible to page 63, Exodus chapter 23, verse 1 to 9. Exodus 23, 1 to 9. Please listen to the word of God. You should not spread a false report. You should not join hands with a wicked man to be a malicious witness. You should not fool in with the money to do evil, nor should you bear witness in a lawsuit, siding with the many, so as to pervert justice. Nor should you be partial to a poor man in his lawsuit. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you should bring it back to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying down under its burden, you should refrain from leaving him with it. You should rescue it with him. You should not pervert the justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from a false charge, and do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you should take no bribe, for bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the course of those who are in the right. You should not oppress a sojourner. You know the heart of a sojourner, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Now let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace, your salvation given to us. We pray you open your word, speak to us in your Holy Spirit. We pray you open our heart to prepare for your word. Pray you be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear brothers and sisters, what's your relationship with your neighbor? Do you know their real needs? One afternoon, Andrew took me to the community near the Covenant Fellowship Church in Pittsburgh to evangelize door to door. In 2 hours, we met three people who had been talking with us for a long time. One was smoking in his own yard. He just lost his job with a little dismay. The second man who drank a lot of wine was very sad, for he just lost his father who loved him. Another man just finished fitness. He talked about his failed marriage with disappointment. He and his wife were divorcing, and there was no agreement on the children's upbringing. That afternoon's experience caused me to think about neighbors. It made me wonder how well we know our neighbors, and whether we are willing and able to truly help them. The background of the passage is God giving judicial laws to his people after the Exodus. These laws describe how Israel as a new nation was to reflect the character of God. The passage we read today emphasizes how to help your neighbor in justice and love. It's a typical example of how to deal with others in a lawsuit. In a situation, you need to pay special attention to those innocent people, the poor, the enemy, and the sojourner. This is a group of people in need. The same is true in your daily life. All those around you who are in need are your neighbors. As God has commanded to you, you should show mercy to your neighbor, helping them in justice and love. Not only has God commanded this, he has shown you mercy and love in the gospel. From verses 1 to 3, 6 to 8, we can see the point: you should help your neighbor in justice. At least 8 negative terms are used in these 6 verses, because these issues often arise in lawsuits. The core of these issues is deviation from justice. These 6 verses mainly charge us not to do evil in situation of justice, not to be partial, oppress the poor, not to bear the false witness, not to take bribes. The key teaching is that for those in the crisis, you must uphold justice to help them. The justice mentioned here refers to the fairness and the justice in the judiciary, and is also used in the Bible to refer to the righteousness of God. In verses 1 to 3, you cannot follow the opinions of the wicked, but also not follow the opinions of many. You cannot favor the wealthy who is in a strong position, but also not favor the poor who is weak. This shows the intention of God is to separate people from the opinions of men and to follow the will of God. True justice does not care how many people, strong or weak. It only consists in the word and the opinion of God. History has proved that if people do not follow God but regard their opinions as the standard of justice, the result is either a violent revolutionary and totalitarianism like China today, or toward the political correctness of hypocrisy, toleration of sin, and persecution of the truth in the name of freedom, in the name of equality, in the name of democracy, just like the United States today. In verses 6 to 8, you should not favor the poor or discriminate against the poor. You must stay away from a false charge and injustice. You should take no bribe. Justice is not sympathy or indiscriminate love, nor discrimination or prejudice. Poverty is not evidence of justice, nor is wealth or status. Taking no bribe seems to have nothing to do with most of us. But it is a misunderstanding. In fact, as long as it involves the exchange and the transmission of interest with improper purpose, no matter the size, is a bribe. In China, bribery is a popular phenomenon. Many things, like choosing school, finding a job, and handle affairs, may all involve bribery. In the United States, briberies are often non-monetary, but we trade influence and power rather than dollars and cents. So the world is constantly bribing you with small gifts and small favors so that you can identify with a certain value or certain idea and follow the world. This shows that God's intention is to separate people from the grudges and the interests of human beings. Only by loving what God loves and hate what God hates can we live out the righteousness of God, for God shows no partiality. Therefore, God said in verse 7, I will not acquit the wicked. God's righteousness is an essential attribute, thereby making all what he does is righteous and upright. God is also pleased that his people walk not in the counsel of the wicked, not stand in the way of sinners, not seed in the seed of scoffers. If in one case, the whole society seems to deviate from justice, are you willing to become a public enemy of the people because of the insistence on the truth? Chapter 9 of John records that a man blind from the birth was healed by Jesus. Then the Pharisees interrogated the man. They didn't care about the fact that the person was healed, but accused Jesus of not keeping the Sabbath, that he was not from God. So they tried to make the man testify against Jesus. Because of the threat, even the parents of the man pretended to be outside of the matter, not dare to bear witness for Jesus who healed their son. Everyone who knew the fact dare not stand up. But under such circumstances, the man strongly proved that he was healed by Jesus. And Jesus, who can do such things, must come from God. So he was driven out from synagogue. However, Jesus met him, comforted him, and called him. God is not pleased that we follow sin, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This passage does not only emphasize that the Israelites must obey the law, but also emphasize that they are the people of God. They serve a righteous God. Therefore, helping your neighbor in justice is not only that you should not do the sinful sin to your neighbor, but also that you can help him to break away injustice into justice. The world believes justice is mostly a matter of good behavior. However, the world is full of sin and injuries, no matter what you are. You have been trapped in unrighteousness. Recently, the case of Yin Yin Zhang has been closed. She was a visiting Chinese scholar at the University of Illinois, was abducted and murdered by a man named Chris Tinson in 2017. The suspect was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole by telling the whereabouts of the body. He distributed the corpse in three bags into the garbage bin and is now buried deeply in a private landfill, which may be difficult to find. Brothers and sisters, can you see how impossible true and full justice really is in this case? Although it had been judged fairly according to the world, the terrible sins and endless harm still exist. And the people involved in the case have not been really comforted from the judgment. Brothers and sisters, you need to show your neighbor only Christ is his full and true justice. Only in Jesus Christ, sin can be taken away. Injuries can be healed. And the heart can be comforted and renewed. In him, we can find the true and full justice. God is both righteous and loving. Injustice is a denial of love. Therefore, you should help your neighbor in love. Scripturally, verses 4 to 5 are an important contrast and distinction. The text emphasizes that when your enemy needs humanitarian aid, you should not stand by, but help him. In addition, the examples given in the text are not a matter of life and death, but some common things in your daily life. That means you can ignore anything that would help your enemy. By focusing on the need of your enemy, God makes you think about how you should treat the need of those who live among you. Your attitude toward your enemy will affect your attitude toward your neighbor. If you can't love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, then you can't really love your neighbor like yourself. Helping your neighbor is not a negative reaction, but a positive attitude to love mercy. How should we think about the relationship between people? Jesus Christ gave us a very clear definition, the Good Samaritan. It's written in Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. Jesus Christ explained to a lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" A man was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was robbed and beaten almost to death. A priest saw him and passed by. A Levite saw him and passed by. But the Samaritan was willing to help him, bound up his wounds, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. In those days, Jews did not associate with Samaritans, as they were enemies. But the man was rescued by the Samaritan, the parable tells us that our neighbor is anyone who can help, even our enemies. All Christ had commanded, loving your neighbor is not required by law, but also related to eternal life. Having mercy is a sign of a neighbor. Having mercy is a sign of a neighbor. Regardless of race, nation, status, or affect relations. If you are a victim and need help, you will know who is the neighbor. In turn, you know who is your neighbor by looking for those in need of help. The recent shooting in Texas was clearly a hate crime. It's easy to hate, but it's hard to love. Through verses 4 to 5, God wants the Israelites to know they are a nation adopted by God, different from other nations. Brothers and sisters, they have the secret laws of God. They are ruled by love. You are also adopted by God in Christ and ruled by love, different from others in the world. Love for your neighbor is combined with loving God. In Matthew 22:34-40, Jesus said to the lawyer that the great commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on the commandment. However, it's really a big problem for us. There was a famous prophet Jonah in the Old Testament who was sent by God to evangelize to the people of Nineveh. However, Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were the enemy of the Jews with extreme cruelty in the war. So the Jews called Nineveh a bloody land's den. Therefore, Jonah did not want to go, but fled to Tarshish. After experiencing a great wind and a great fish, Jonah finally came to Nineveh. After a day of his calling, the people of Nineveh repented, and the Lord did not bring disaster to them. So Jonah was greatly displeased. God taught him a lesson through a plant. He let the plant grow up for Jonah and was killed by a worm in the next day. Jonah was angry with that. God said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know their right hand from their left hand, and also much cattle. Brothers and sisters, Jonah had mercy on a plant, but could not accept the Nineveh because of national hatred. But in the eyes of God, even the cattle should be pitied. Does not the person created by his image need more mercy? Brothers and sisters, if we can't take the heart of the God and look at the world with his eyes, when we meet someone we really hate, it's hard for us to love. However, while we were enemies of God, Jesus Christ died for us and made us reconciled to God as God's children. God shows his mercy for us through Jesus Christ. In addition, Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The love of Christ makes us love God and love our neighbors through keeping the law. Therefore, help your neighbor by walking with God. You can see verse 9. Verse 9 mentions that you should not oppress a sojourner because you were sojourners in the land of Egypt and know the heart of a sojourner. The verse teaches us through an analogy. Just as Israel learned how to treat the sojourners by their time wandering in the wilderness, so your own experience makes you to know the situation and the needs of others. Some hospitals offer a training program for the husbands when their wives are pregnant, including the weight-bearing experience of pregnancy and the use of childbirth simulators to experience labor pain. A husband who has such experience will have a more considerate and caring understanding of his wife. When the Israelites were sojourners in Egypt, they were oppressed heavily by the Egyptians. God reminded them that since you had oppressed the experience, you should not oppress the sojourner among you, because you know the heart of a sojourner. Not only that, but God also reminded them that they have been brought out of Egypt by God. They had a pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They were walking with God. The Israelites knew very well that God saved them, not because they were better than others, but because God made a covenant with their ancestor Abraham to save them with mercy. God's salvation made them clearly aware of God's mercy. In the series of events through the wilderness, they experienced God's mercy, which did not counter his righteousness and never grudged his love. Walking with God, you can help your neighbor because of the mercy you have experienced. Look at others through the lens of the gospel, help us finally see that the same gospel is God's solution for final justice and true love. If you care about justice and love, then only in Jesus Christ, in the gospel, can you find the perfect combination of the two. Look at the mercy of Jesus Christ. When he saw the cross, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So he personally came to be a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. John 8 records a woman who was caught in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees brought her to Jesus. This was a trial that took place in the synagogue. The judge was Lord Jesus. And the woman and every bystander were condemned. Jesus stood up and asked them, "Who is without sin among you?" As a result, the bystanders went away with their own sins silently, and no one begged mercy from Jesus. Only the woman was still standing before Jesus. She had no way to go. Jesus Christ was her only way. Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." What Jesus said means that he would bear the woman's sin and the punishment. Then the woman was forgiven with the righteous robe of Jesus Christ. Jesus loved her as a good shepherd, saving her by his blood. Everyone has to face a trial, which you will know how much mercy you need from Jesus Christ. The mercy is very necessary for you, otherwise you will perish. The cross is the place to show God's righteousness and love, which was done through the trial of Jesus. Not in his judgment by Pilate, but in his judgment by the Heavenly Father. The high priest cooked up charges on Jesus. Many people shouted to crucify Jesus. And some people mocked Jesus, saying, "You could not save yourself. For the sake of his justice, God punished your sin in the death of Jesus. For the sake of his love, which loves to the end, God adopted you into his family. If you have experienced the mercy of Jesus Christ in your life, you have experienced the perfect combination of God's justice and love. Therefore, you can walk with God with affection of Christ Jesus. Micah 6:8 said, O man, God has told you what is good. And what does the Lord require you? To do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Brothers and sisters, in your daily life, you need to think about who your neighbor is and what they really need. You need to help them in justice and love, walking with your God, who has shown the perfect justice and love for you. Remember, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Let us know your justice and love in Jesus Christ. Have shown on the cross, have shown to your children. Let us consider, meditate your word. Let us seek justice, seek love, walk with you in Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn to Psalm 101, Selection B, in our Blue Psalter, Psalm 101B. Psalm 101 is the song of Jesus, reflecting his desire for the church. And he says here in stanza 3, I will uproot him who slyly his neighbor vilifies. I will not endure the proud heart or him with lofty eyes. This is Jesus' intention for his church. He does not want his church to be proud. He wants his church to be merciful, even toward her enemies. So let's stand and sing this together, Psalm 101B. If you have a prayer card, you can pass that in, and Nate will pick that up.